There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I feel like I did a million sit-ups.
Look at you, dude.
Yeah. Did it look like I was dying?
I don't know.
Yeah, it looked like I was freaking about to meet Jesus on pit road after the race. I was so cramped up. Say that again.
I can't tell you that.
I feel like he's Jackson Storm.
I've never done drugs, but if this must be what it feels like.
We're not allowed to do this stuff in any other racing I've ever done. It was like good and bad on my shoulders, you know, telling me what to do.
I'm not going to be that guy that just comes in here and toots my own horn.
Dude.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hey guys, welcome to Stacking Pennies, Circuit of the Americas edition. We have a ton to break down today. I'm Corley Joy, driver of the number 7 Camaro, joined by the usual band characters. Ryan Flores, front tire changer of Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang.
Just one character.
Just one, but we got another character coming in today. He's joining us here shortly. Shane Van Gisbergen joins the show to break down his COTA exciting weekend. But we've been kicking around the idea. We're just going to get into my weekend. I had enough stuff going on. It was going really good, and then it went really bad. So where do we even begin?
Well, I start with practice because I was just watching. It was Crew's birthday, so we were out and about.
Happy birthday, Crew. 4 years old, big dog.
Yay. And I was watching on my NASCAR app, and I saw your first round of practice. You were like 2.5 seconds off, and I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
So then I
was lost for a couple laps. One, the first 3 laps on a racetrack, when your tires are good, somebody spun out in front of me every single lap. So that didn't bode well for a fast lap either.
Yeah. And then
I was just trying to piece it all together.
And then I look back, like, I don't know, an hour later, because you had 2 practices.
Yep.
And then you were top 5 in practice. And yep. I was like,
I think we ended up 10th.
Homeboy figured it out.
Yeah.
And then go... Okay, so then I like kind of was trying to leave myself in suspense. So then I get home and I have practice DVR'd. I see you make it in the last round, and it made me think about Watkins Glen. And I'm like, hell, okay, made it the last round. Now the goal is don't qualify 10th.
Like, so my dash lap timer didn't work. So I just hit it felt slow, which is weird. Because normally when you feel like you're going fast and you're bouncing and all out of control, you're really going slow as hell. But talking and working with Josh Wise, working with Scott Speed, they've told me that, hey, a lot of the times when you're under the tire and you're maximizing the tire, you're probably going faster. So I crossed the line in our first round lap, and it was like suspenseful. I'm like, because it was all zeros on my dash. I'm like, oh no, was it really bad? Like, I had to know if it was
good.
Somebody
say something.
And I was like, was it good? Yeah, 129.90. And I was like, 20s are good. Like, if it's like 30s are normal, like 30s are good. I'm like, holy, where'd that come from?
Yeah, it's a good lap.
So we obviously had a lot of pace in our car. Felt really good about that.
Bro, you knocked out SVG, our guest coming up, and AJ Allmendinger. Two
guys
that have won cup races, like a lot, and I mean, a lot of other people, but those two are in your group. And then you go in and qualify in the top 5, which I thought was, I mean, that's a big step.
Very, very big step. So I felt really good about that, really confident, because the second round, we waited a little bit. A lot of guys were smoking tires, trying to get a little more grip, but naturally your tires aren't going to fire off and have the speed as they do the first round. So we only slowed down 4/10. I wanted to put a fairway drive out there, and a couple guys missed it, and we had a great, great starting position.
Boyer was talking you up pretty big, and then I didn't even see you on Sunday at all. You walked by after driver
had a bunch of appearances.
Well, but it was like really the pit road and everything's kind of spread out there.
Yeah.
But I was like interested. I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, see, because I was thinking about Connor Zilich, because I was sitting there with my wife, and I'm like, they say this kid's going to stomp the field. And right when I said that, he locked his front tires up and slid off the track. And she's like, you just cursed that kid. And I'm like, oh, man, if he would have just stayed up front all day, he'd have won the race.
So by
like,
a mile.
I'm like, let's just I hope Corey can just have a drama-free day, run in the top 10 all day, and finish there.
Yeah, my goal was to settle in the top 8 to 10 the first lap, because once you get singled out there, that's kind of where you run, the entire run, whether you're 7th or 27th. Everybody runs, you know, within 7 or 8 tenths, and 7 or 8 tenths on a road course, it doesn't sound like much, but like it feels like a long way. You can run a couple seconds faster than a car and only catch it a couple car lengths.
Yeah.
So we were feeling good about our starting position for about, I don't know, 9 corners. So we drop the green, get through 1 and 2, merge into the S's 5th. I'm like, okay, here we go. And we all jam up in turn 8 like we had all weekend. And then it's the race for leverage down into 11 is a big braking zone. And the 11 rolled to my left rear quarter through 8, and he kept me out there.
Give
and
you then, a little right rear on a platter.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Well,
brought you some lunch.
Man, it's just a really tough spot. So Ross Chastain did the right move. He jammed it in 3 wide bottom. The 11 kind of forced me up, and the grass was coming up, so I tried to merge, and I didn't know I was top of 3. I thought that the 19 was there, and he was going to give me a lane. But as you see, Bubba did the same thing. He jammed at 3 wide bottom. And maybe he thought that he was only outside of 2, didn't leave a lane for 3 of us, and unfortunately killed all of our momentum. Knocked the toe out of our Gainbridge Camaro. And honestly, man, I was so frustrated. I usually do a fairly decent job of regulating my emotions and kind of locking back in when something like that happens, but I was defeated.
Fail fast. No, yeah, it's defeating when you work your butt off. Look at all these cars going by.
All of them. I think we went back to 23rd or 4th, so I was so freaking defeated, man. It legitimately took me all the first stage, if not more than that, to like get my mental state back to where I could like go run fast again, because I was so f***ing mad.
Do you feel like you said that you wanted to just settle in. And I think about this with Ryan, too, because I think Ryan does this. This is why we end up backwards a lot of these races, I think. Is like you get to where, on the starts, you get to where you settle in and everybody else is like chomping at the bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Plugging it 3 wide. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, no. I thought we were going to ride here for a second. And you're backing up your corners like you would on a fast lap. And then, like, you back up your corner, like, worried about exit. And this guy's just worried about getting your quarter and blowing his exit. So I think, like, with the 12 car, I think that sometimes we get taken advantage of on the start of road course races. Because then once it plays out, then we boop, go back forward. But it seems like if you are going to just run the road course and run your race, you have to be more worried about putting guys in a bad spot, using them up, and getting forward.
Yeah, that's one thing where, you know, I'm just working on my confidence to get pace at a road course, and then working to change your approach to be in like just a strictly leverage position to put guys in bad spots, to just commit to entering a corner completely wrong, essentially.
Yeah.
But wrong is subjective, because the 23 entered on the very bottom and he was in the advantageous position. I wish he'd have left a couple feet. I tried to merge. I wish I'd have known I was top of 3. I didn't know I was top of 3 here.
Well, everybody thinks too that you just have a spotter looking at your view all the time. And your spotter, where they're at, they can't see. You're kind of on that corner by yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, you got spotters in 9. But
what corner is that?
That's 11. So when we get turned there, knocks a toe out, right? And it just, I lose all the track position. Then you're just freaking fighting, frustrated, back to where, unfortunately, it's just a freaking dogfight the rest of the day. You work to get to where we qualified, right? You work all day long to try to get yourself the track position to maintain, to have good, clean pit stops. And the race would have worked out in our favor, but unfortunately, it freaking started terrible. So
then it's like, okay, new mission. Now we got to. Now we're back.
2
here.
Laps later, I get shucked by somebody else. Lose a bunch of spots too. And 2 laps into the race, I've lost 25 spots. So at that point in time, I'm like, I'm over it, dude. People keep smashing into me. Like you either be smashed into or you're going to be the smasher.
So now the innocents start getting it.
Yeah, dude, I saw red. I was so pissed off. This one, the 19 was racing me down in there. So I'm looking in my spot mirror and the four checked up a little bit more than I anticipated. He was just trying to make the corner and I felt bad about that one. Spun him out.
That's a short track tail as old as time. You're racing a guy in the corner on your left rear and you aren't the guy in front of you does nothing wrong, he's just a victim of circumstance.
Well, we saw that everybody that got spun out, there's multiple cars that got spun out, either an 11 or one, just that min speed, if because it's such a small radius corner.
Dude, you lost like five or six spots there too.
Dude, I'm telling you, I lost more spots than I gained all day. It was sloppy for me behind the wheel because I just was super flustered and mad. And it just didn't go like I hoped, right? You'd comb through SMT all Saturday night to try to find a little more speed in race runs. Felt like I was prepared. And, you know, a couple instants and you find yourself in a bad spot and knock some speed out, potential speed out of your car. And then you go from hoping you have a top 10 day to just fighting for a top 30. So that was frustrating. And then...
every time I leave GoPro Motorplex, Trackhouse Motorplex, I feel the same way. But at least you're getting paid to do this. I paid it to go there and get frustrated.
That's true. I have a lot of fun in Trackhouse. So
that's what it seems like, though. It's like when you're on the rental carts with your friends, right? And there's always one guy that's going to take advantage of everybody and smash everyone out of the way
and get out and laugh about
and get out and win, right? And then you're like, no, I thought we were racing, and then you get smashed, and it's like, damn it.
Yeah,
but. It seems like that's kind of it, and that's what these cars are like. Like you can kind of drive in there. And
they legitimately are like rental carts. You have bumpers all the way around, and you just smash it.
Watching the truck race, like Dale Quarterly, like lap one, his rocker, everything's crushed. Everybody's like cars are just crushed.
Yeah,
and then you can't run anymore because you're getting flats, and you just can't work on it. But these cars, like, I think I heard Josh Berry say that. He's like, it's like a rental car. You can just a rental go kart, not a rental car. Yeah. I don't suggest going to get a rental car and smashing it. A rental go kart where you just kind of bounce off each other and nothing breaks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've gotten more texts in the last, 12 hours from people. Did they make it out on Fox like I was dying? Did it look like I was dying?
I don't know. I didn't see anything.
Dude, I'd get it. I'm feeling fine. Right here, my abs are freaking locked up and I can't breathe because. I'm trying to walk it off. I'm thinking about sitting down, and I'm like, oh, man. Like, I have – if I've got, 10 abs, all 10 of them are like baseballs at the moment. So I lay down, and my back seizes up, and Leanne's like, you want me to get EMT? And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, but yes. Oh, look at this scene.
Dude, you got to – oh, my goodness. Yeah, they brought you everything out there.
Yeah. Dude.
Should have done the Kyle Busch and lay on the back, hold your hands.
I should have, dude. Dude, my freaking glute and my abs were so cramped up.
That's not the first time that's happened to you. If you're ever going to cramp, it is
in my abs,
your core. You remember it happened to you at Martinsville? I drove you home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that. Well, that one I was able to walk it off to where people didn't know that I was crippled.
Yeah, and until you got in your lounge and you couldn't move, I walked up in your lounge. I'm like, Sanka, you dead?
I felt like I was dead. I don't know if that's just the sodium, just like my minerals were off, but I felt like I was ahead of it with my hydration. Just, I looked at my suit after and there was so much salt on it. I think partially because with those races that go green, you have no time to drink.
Maybe it was because after the first lap you were super salty.
I was so salty.
That could be it. The overcast days are the ones that get me. On pit road because like it's not super hot and you're kind of forget to drink water. And
yeah.
If anything's gonna cramp up on me, it's my hands or my my quad. But you, it's your core.
It's my
And
it's
that sucks.
It's my calves and it's my calves and my abs. And both were cramping up. Not even in the car. When I got out of the car, it was like they were like, okay, we done now? Okay, we're good. Let's just go ahead and lock up. So to everybody who was concerned, thank you for your text. I got a bag of fluid. I talked to Bob Pockers, and everything was fine.
How you feeling today?
I feel like I did a million sit-ups.
Look at you, dude.
Yeah. Yeah,
not great.
I feel fine. Like I don't feel any more tired than usual.
You don't feel as bad as Michael McDowell.
Oh, my God.
Dude, he would just come in.
There's nothing. They're almost impossible to drive. So the fact that he was able to make however many laps with a broken rack was unbelievable.
He would come by and he had you could see all the power steering fluid had blown down the side of it. And he's got a small wheel because you guys run a smaller wheel.
No power.
Dude, that's not fun.
Tom Graham, no other driver can do this.
No. I don't disagree with that.
Oh, he's talking to himself. We gotta keep going.
Dude. Okay, here we go.
All right, back to it.
Couple more.
Thumbs up.
Here we go, guys. Go back out there. Dude, I don't wish Chad on my worst enemy.
I was watching him because he was only a couple down from us, like 10 to go. He just came in and parked for a couple laps. And that's when he was like straight, and then he just like, all right, and he just pulled off like, I'm gonna go back out here.
Whenever everybody was having some power steering issues right in the beginning with the car, and they didn't really know before everybody started to figure out the system and how to make it work. I lost power steering at Bristol, and I had my hands at like 12-1, like mixed grip, like I'm deadlifting, going
at Bristol.
Oh yeah.
Oh no!
I made it like 12 laps. I'm like, guys, it's impossible.
In what?
In the cup car.
In the new one?
Yeah.
Dude, imagine if you're doing that and then you get loose.
Yeah, you wreck.
R.I.P.
Well, actually, you wish you get loose when you got no power steering because it alleviates the wheel a little bit. Like, oh, thank you. And then, I don't know, because these things have like 12 or 14 degrees caster. So, dude, they are, and the tires are wider. So it's just a freaking bear to wrestle. Speaking of wrestle and cramping up calves, the guys with the biggest calves I've ever seen in my entire life just walked into the Nonsense Garage. Let's keep them waiting no longer. Shane Van Gisbergen is going to break down his CODA experience with us right here on Stag and Penny. Stay tuned.
Old Kiwi calf himself.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, we're back. Joined right here in the Nonsense Garage with the driver, the number 7 Xfinity 97, and the 16 Cup car. Frequent guest of the show. Happy to have you back in, Shane Van Gisbergen.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again.
You had an exciting weekend, my friend.
Yeah, it was good and bad. Had a lot of fun and a lot of cool battles, but unfortunately 20-something place in both races. So that kind of sucks, not capitalizing.
Well, you finished much higher on Saturday.
True.
Than what the results show, but we'll get to that in a second. Not the first time you've seen the place. Said you went there with V8 Supercars almost a decade ago.
Yeah, 2013. We did half the track then.
Say that again. What year?
2013.
Okay, I just wanted to hear you say that again. I've never heard.
Yeah, George, we used to do it all the time.
Yeah,
Coleman Presley one time counted to 1,000 when they were gluing lug nuts, and every time he'd get 13, 14, and then he'd keep going until he got the 213.
So after the S's, you bang a hard left, and then you blend back in the like S's. The backstretch.
Yeah.
Okay, so 8-9, the rally course that we ended up racing on, and it's the dirt fields, but we'll talk about track limits in a minute. What was your Xfinity series expectations? Because that is much unlike any car you've ever driven.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So I had a good chat with Marcus actually before I got on track, and he said, yeah, it'll be different to everything you've ever expected, the way the brakes, the way the differs, and it's weird, like they turn left different to how they turn right and how they torque up on exit. So when you turn left, like the left front, inside front comes way off the ground and they look awesome, really grip up. But when you turn right, they drift. So it was really bizarre trying to get used to the handling.
Yeah.
But a lot of fun to race, and the way they move around and how you got a down change, pretty cool.
How much H pattern stuff had you done before that?
A fair bit, but never really with my right hand. So I struggled a bit with that.
Yeah.
But I got better. But yeah, my arm was pretty sore Sunday morning.
Yeesh.
AJ said that I had heard him say earlier in the week that car fit your style better, which I was like, man, I thought we kind of designed the cup car off of the V8 supercar, so that caught me off guard. Well, why did he think that?
I had a theory on that. I think because the differences in skill level of road course and car control and tire feel shows up more in Xfinity car because you get more body roll, you get more body heave, tires are narrower, much smaller of a window to hit with your downshifts. Explain to that a little bit.
The supercars are probably in the middle of the two. Okay. Like the cup cars are so stiff, low, and they're stuck in the high-speed stuff, and they don't ride the curbs very well, and they don't take them very well, but the Xfinity car feels like you can ride over anything. It's like a big riding on a cloud, the way it moves around, and they just slip and slide, and you can drive them so hard. You can drive both of them hard, actually, but yeah, they're complete contrast from each other.
So something I found interesting, we were talking before the race on Sunday, that your right shoe was the bottom of your foot was completely almost like down to your foot. Your foot was almost hanging out of the shoe.
Yeah.
Just after one race.
I didn't have a spare pair of boots for Sunday, but I didn't have the pedals probably set up right. I set them up good for, I guess, qualifying. But in the race, when the brakes got long, I was kind of on top of the pedal, how far it was to get back to be able to heel toe. So I couldn't get my foot back far enough and just killed the top of my foot. And then the side of my boot, these boots don't have like a side on them for the heel toe like I had in Australia, so I need to change my style up a bit, but different.
Does AJ right foot break or is he left foot break?
He left in both, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you wear those boots from there? They're not SFI?
Yeah, I can, but not on the Alpine Stars we have now. Alpine Stars make some. I just need to get some.
Mm.
Probably a thicker sole as well.
Yeah, because the pedals are different. The Xfinity cars are hanging, so the top of your... I could imagine.
The way they hook under, yeah.
Yeah.
And the pressure in the race that you needed, the pedal would go so long, like it was pretty hard to push, yeah.
Man, do you ever go left foot brake? Is there any instant, like instant?
On the ovals I am, yeah. Okay. Like I had done it before in rally cars, but never anything else. So I can't do it on a road course when I start down changing and stuff. I'm all goofy, so I need to go back to normal.
How much are you using the clutch in the Xfinity car?
I can't tell you that.
1 to 10.
No, you needed a fair bit. Like
how much less in the cup car?
A lot less in the cup car because they don't have the wheel hop and they don't move around as much under brakes.
Yeah,
the Xfinity car, as soon as it wheel hops, you got to get straight to it.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, it was crazy.
How much was a wheel hopping when the 21 was shoved under your ass into one?
It wasn't for the first bit, but the second or third time he hit me, yeah.
Man, I was so frustrated watching that. I'll be honest. And I think we got a couple clips.
On a green white checkered, there was what, two green white checkers, and you were the control car.
Yeah, two. So
my favorite. Everybody felt the same way after you dominated the race. You did it was such a good race between you, Larson, and AJ. Everybody
you lost
this.
A little track position. You fought to get it back, and then you were helped into turn one a little bit deeper than what you wanted to go.
Yeah, we got better and better all day, and as I understood it, and first stint probably didn't drive as well, and I probably saved the brakes too much, but. It did help me in the third stage.
Really?
I thought I was good, and then the yellows come out. I knew it was going to be crazy, and I just didn't know how I could have approached it different because I guess no matter what I did, people were just going to run you over at one.
Well, there was one before then where you kind of did well, and then you got a little wide.
I pushed in too hard to try not get run up the back. And then
you got AJ and Ty.
Yeah.
And then Ty was mad at AJ. But then that one, like, the thing to me is, like, okay – if you're going to race like that, like you've dominated the whole race and it's frustrating. And then to take advantage of a guy, that's one thing. But when you get it back, don't get out of the car and be like, well, he didn't give me a chance. Like the way that he
So going through 15, 16, coming to the checkered here, the 17, I think was on a tire advantage.
He was on new tires.
So he was on new tires coming hard.
Yeah. So it's a weird mentality here. It's something I've never been used to. Like we're not allowed to do this stuff in any other racing I've ever done. So. Normally,
when you say this stuff, just ship somebody?
Yeah.
With no regard?
Just hit someone out of the way with no care. So
that was your first time? Like, I'll try it.
Yeah, let's try it. At turn one, normally what he would have done would have been a penalty and pretty much
what's
every
a penalty
other
look like there in the supercar?
For that would be a 15-second or a drive-through.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I've done that, and then the whole next two laps, my spotter's crew chief, get his ass, get him going, push him off.
And you're like, what?
Yeah. So I had, it was like good and bad on my shoulders, you know, telling me what to do. So,
well, then you got Larson right there on new tires, too.
Yeah.
What, so like, what is your initial reaction to this type of racing? Like, you've never, you said you've never been raced like that ever.
Yeah, it's weird. And then, you know, to now be thinking, oh, where could I have moved him differently to pass him in a different spot? And, you know, people were telling me where I should hit someone out of the way. Like, I've never had to think like that before. So it's crazy.
He had better drive, though. Like, he could come off, he would get off the corners.
Yeah, he was getting off the corners. My strength was braking and turning. But yeah, into here, he just stood on the brakes and backed it up even earlier. So I didn't mean to hit him that early in the corner. But anyway.
Well, yeah, he parked it.
Yeah,
because he knew it was
coming. Yeah,
I guess.
So. But so if you got a redo at it, what do you do? Wait till 20 or 19?
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
It's so hard to say because there's so many variables. Like, I made a couple of mistakes earlier in the lap in the S's, and that put me far behind. So I don't really know. What would you have done?
Oh, I'm running 27th, so don't ask me. I'm not going to tell you what to do to move the win. You've been contending for a win every time you've been on
the
racetrack.
I don't know if there's anything you could have done because the urgency, the urgency to get
17
the lead
was
going to
get there.
You couldn't set him up. If you were to set him up, the 17 would have just pounded.
He was too close by then.
It was. I'll tell you what, though. Maybe it was the end of the second stage when you guys were all racing each other, all pitted together. Like, it was top notch. Like,
it was awesome.
You were like to watch it.
One of the moves that you did on the 19 into the break zone and won completely blew our American minds because we've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Well, I was pissed because I missed the gear up the straight. I passed him into 20.
Yeah.
And then had a run.
Would you miss the third four?
Second or third.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that's why he pulled out so fast. So.
Yeah.
But then, this was cool. And then battling through too. I had a good battle with Larson here as well. And it was really fun.
Squeeze him down. That's a fun corner.
Yeah. But when you race these guys and AJ, like,
you
can just tell.
They're not going to use you
up. No, and you can tell their awareness is so high. They know what's going on. It's really fun racing with them.
Anybody surprise you with how good of a road course racer they were this weekend that you were like, oh, okay.
Not really in this series. You know, it was the guys you'd say, those three guys up the front. And then in the Cup series, like, everyone's pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I talked to Logano this morning. He's like, dude, you got to drive your ass off the whole race in these things. He's like, you're 10 out of 10 all the time.
That's the coolest thing. And I missed that in supercars last year. Those cars, you drive around now at 40, 50% the whole race.
Why is that?
Just it blows the tires off.
It does.
So you're just saving tires the whole race, just moping around. And these things, for 3 hours, it's just
all you got.
Go, go, go. Like, dude, it's so tough. Really cool.
Yeah, it looked like I was freaking about to meet Jesus on pit road after the race. I was so cramped up.
I think it's the tire, though, like, because the tire's so wide.
Yeah.
And you can slide it, lean on it. And if you cook it, you can kind of bring it back and go again.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Especially
like
with the long straightaways there. Seem like if you
cools down.
Roast them, they cool down a little bit.
So a ton of talk about tires, obviously, lately. And a ton of talk about road courses and packages. So, like, what you have raced a ton of road courses, a ton of different cars. How do you feel about the racing in these cars?
I feel like the Xfinity stuff was awesome. You could follow close, make big passes, and the way the cars move and lean on each other, it was really cool. The Cup car's a little tougher with the aero that they have, but I still saw a lot of racing. Like, Coda's good with the wide entries into all the hairpins. You can move around, cross people back. There was still some pretty good racing, but yeah, if you stalemate with someone, you kind of just cook. But
do you think it's so much, you know, do you think it could potentially be we confuse aero for just cars being closer together on speed?
Everyone's pretty even, yeah. Like, you can see in Xfinity, the way the cars make the speed, like the Gibbs car was so different to ours, and Hendrick car was different again.
Right.
But AJ and I were pretty similar around the whole track.
Right.
Whereas in Cup, everyone's pretty much the same.
Everybody maximizes the brake zones.
Yes.
Everybody turns the same.
It's awesome for how competitive it is, but sometimes that takes away from the racing.
So it's also frustrating for the driver. Something that added some different opinions, turn 8 and 9, even from Friday, Saturday, we have gotten, I don't know where this this started, but since the cars can take just absolutely smashing a curb with no regard, we have just disregarded track limits altogether, particularly on exit.
Yeah.
Whether we go to Watkins Glen whether we go to particularly COTA, because we have made the runoff so advantageous that you have to go out there to keep your minimum speed up.
Yep.
Where we don't even race the racetracks as they are intended to be raced. We've made the curbs less harsh. We've made the runoffs more smooth. So that's where we're just going to run.
Yep.
What is your opinion on curbing and track limits?
It's a hard one. It took me a fair bit in the simulator to get to mid-corner and then just
gas it up,
open the wheel and drive off the track.
It's, yeah,
again, different to everything I've ever done. But it kind of gave you options and was pretty cool. It's more the inside apexes where I found difficult to judge, you know, where they were policing 3, 4, 5, but disregarding 6, 7, 8. So it's how it was, but it was kind of difficult. When we raced at COTA through the chicane, we had the turtles. So you could hit them and, you know, you get pretty cool air, but it was kind of slower.
Yeah.
But I guess in these cup cars, in the high speed, it's probably going to beat them up too much, but
I think that
you could probably,
I wish there was turtles in that one corner where you guys all had to go through the dirt. And yeah, it would so just blow dirt, and then you guys would have to get
digging,
lower and
we
lower.
We were digging so damn deep, the turtles were about to come out of their hole. That's how freaking dope. That's how.
No, turn 8 on a slow corner, you could have a turtle, and the cars would climb up on that. But the high speed, you couldn't.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I think this was a couple incidents in a row that they got away from turtles. It was Indy in 21 or 20.
Did you jump that?
I absolutely... Elon Musk SpaceX launched it off one of those sausage turtles or those sausage curbs. So they were like, maybe we shouldn't put a 12-inch tall perpendicular to the racetrack.
Probably the wrong type of corner for it.
Right. Or they literally put a speed bump, and I was going 140 miles an hour. We'll pull the video up one of these days and launch. Higgy, pull the tape. So there was the Indy sausage curb debacle where the metal curb peeled up. Right. Remember they had to get out, and it was this long red flag. So they were like, okay, we don't like these curbs. Then we went to COTA for the first time in the absolute monsoon rain, and they had the curbs in, and drivers couldn't see. They were launching them. Then we go back with the next gen car for the first time, and everybody was complaining that they didn't have enough floors. So the reason why they took the curb down on the S's was because nobody had enough parts. The carbon fiber underbody. So then once we took the curbs out, they didn't want to put them back in and undo all the stuff. So just a couple incidences that you can go point to, like, okay, this is how we've gotten the track to where you can just run anywhere you want to run. I don't want to put NASCAR in a position where they have to police a half an inch of a track limit. My opinion is this, and I'm curious to hear yours, is we just need a bit. There's the normal curb where you can, you know, hear the tire, okay, I'm on my left, I'm on my right. And then you just need another row of more aggressive curbs to where it's not advantageous to hit.
Yeah, or you just need a bit more leeway. Like the penalty didn't really fit the crime. So in Australia, we have this every year at Surfers Paradise with the curbs there. And you get kind of 3 strikes. Or if you're doing it every lap, you'll get policed. So I got done at the end of the race when with Sage Karam, we kind of come together and it pushed me wide.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get back in time for 3, but I tried my best, braked and lost time. Like, it was no advantage.
And they made you, and they gave you after the race penalty.
Gave me a penalty, but, you know, I couldn't really do much. But anyway, but the one that I couldn't understand was Chase Elliott got one, and he had a monster moment. It was an awesome save, cut the corner. And
he's got to come down.
Yeah, but he lost time, probably scared himself, lost time, lost time the next lap taking it easy, right?
Right.
It's no advantage, but he gets a 30-second penalty, so that's the bit that's a bit harsh for me. But
I think COTA's unique in that respect because that's really the only place that we go and talk about track limits.
Yeah.
Because it's an F1 track and there's more runoff. But so, like, we get – this is a conversation that it's like when you look at rules and rule books, right, there's usually a reason why dumb rules are there. Because, like, if we don't have track limits –
yeah, you got to police them, like, because otherwise people will take.
Yeah, we're racers; we'll take advantage of it. But yeah, I do like your take of, you know, 3 strikes or a warning or giving it back because, man, it really could affect your playoff chances in the Xfinity series for sure.
Yeah, 30 seconds for no gain is a lot.
So fast forward to Sunday. It seemed like everything that could have went wrong with that 16 WeatherTech Camaro did. So just give us. There was a couple laundry list of things. Dash went out, lost first gear.
A lot, yeah.
So how did it all start? decent starting position. Started, what, 7th, 8th?
12th, yeah. Not the best in quality, but yeah, the start was good. And then just, again, probably a bit too conservative. The thing here, everyone just gets into it. And as soon as they see weakness, just talking
about tell me that. About it.
They just push you around. So I probably just need to be more committed at the start. And
what'd you think when you just powered by me, like I was standing still off of 11?
I just seen smoke. It was crazy. And I just tried to follow people, but it was pretty unlucky.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. But then just...
It's one way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then just issues. Like I noticed down the back straight, the alternator was off and my brake fans kept turning off. All the switches were changing. But the one I didn't notice was my dash page had changed.
Yeah.
So it went to page 7, I think, which is half a mile up of standard. So I've come down pit lane and...
Hang on. Let me back up on that.
Yep.
So teams have multiple dash pages for pit road speed. So if you roll your first light set of lights and you're half mile slow, you flip the page like yours did, and then you bumped it and you said you nailed your lights.
Yeah, I left pit lane thinking, yes, nailed that, because I held green pretty much the whole time.
Did he get to first speed?
Yeah, and then...
Oh, no.
And then... on the outlet, they're like, yep, come down pit lane for a pass-through. I'm like, what? And they said, yeah, you spared in 4 sections or something. But
half a mile an hour.
Half a mile, yeah. So that was a shame. But yeah.
At this point of the race, you had first gear still.
I had first gear, yeah. Okay. So that put us back a bit. And then start of stage 3, we were 20-something.
Yeah.
And we got it better. I had a really good restart, had some fun battles, and then I started pushing forward.
Bro, you were tight with the 2-car all day.
Yeah, and the 50. The 50 got me on the first stop. I had to wait for him. But
Kamui.
That guy hit everything but the Texas
line. No, everybody runs into him. I don't know. Have you ever raced with Kamui much?
Oof.
Yeah, it's close. Is it like that? Is it like that on your guys' pit lane in Australia or not too bad?
It can be, but it's more how I thought, okay, I've cleared him. It's fine. And then the guys around, and that scared me. I had to go right again. So that's the thing. We don't have the guys moving around. See?
Yeah, like, oh
I did a sit.
Don't hit
second.
Hey, Jesse right there, the guy carrying tire, his brother's like the Navy SEAL. Don't hit him.
We'll see. So you start to recover a bit, and then your first gear, and how did you realize first gear went out?
I started feeling it. It was like chirping a lot under brakes and shaking a lot. And then one time I went for first and it just
wasn't there.
Ghost gear. Yeah. So
neutral.
Stuck in second.
Just a box full of neutrals.
And then there's like 6-7 corners we use first.
Damn it.
So I struggled.
It just gets tight, right? What does that do?
Super tight, and I'd lose about 10 car lengths off the corners. So I was trying to gas it up early, then I just kept jumping over the curbs to try and spike the wheel spin. But too hard once we were going.
Dang it.
But I feel like in NASCAR, there seems to be there's 10 to 15 guys every week have that story. Like, everyone's so competitive, could be in for a good result, and then
one little thing
happens. Yeah.
It doesn't take much.
It's always something happens in a race.
There's 34, 35 guys that are really good.
I was thinking about that yesterday, about the cup racing, and they were talking about who are the best. Jeff had texted about who the best guys are, and I was looking at him like, man. Well, it's track dependent, too, because, like, Alex Bowman shows up at COTA, you know, and then, like, Ty Gibbs and the 20 car and 24, they're always good, but it's just, like, everybody. Once it gets strung out and gets going, like, the beginning of the race, like we talked about before, is a lot like GoPro Motorplex. Who's going to take advantage of who and put each other in a bad spot and spin each other out? But once it gets strung out, like, everybody's racing really hard and everybody's freaking hauling the mail.
Yeah, track position is
huge.
Pretty king in these races. And
for sure.
Qualifying, so. And not getting spun out on the first lap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it sucks.
Did you get spun out on the first lap?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, it does
did you,
not.
You didn't get spun out at all, though, right?
No, I was good.
Yeah. Spin anybody out?
No, I didn't. I was behaved.
Oh, that's two less than I did.
You got a 2-for in one lap.
I spun somebody out 11, and then I went down the next corner still pissed off. And it was one of those, like, you don't go with the intention to spin them out, but you, like, poke your nose in there, and then it's like, poof, oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry, Harrison.
So we talked to you last time. You had run a couple ovals. You went to Phoenix since then. How'd you feel about that place?
It was okay. It's a tough track, very slippery, and again, I was mid-pack, just learning all day and moved forward at the end, but it's just carnage. Like, the restarts being 4 or 5 wide.
From the bottom, yeah.
Dog leg, I guess, is just freestyle. Everyone does what they want.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, but a lot of fun.
Before you jumped on here, we were talking about how frustrated I was and how I felt pretty defeated after that. You spend all Saturday, you've pumped up, great qualifying position for our guys and our team, and such a big step for just, I'm not a great road course racer. So that was like a big confidence booster, and then all the wind was out of my sails. Is there any instant where, like, when you get out of your rhythm, right, somebody knocks into you, like, how long or what do you do to, like, refocus?
Especially when it's early, you just got to remind yourself, especially in these races, how long it is. So yeah. You just got to get on with it. And
yeah.
Stop but yeah. Yeah, it can be pretty demoralizing though when I was restarting stage three in 25th or something. It's
How much longer is that race than a
hour and a half normally from our normal races? Hour and a half long.
So it's double?
Pretty much. Yeah. So
you're talking about V8 supercars?
Normal supercar.
So
race,
how long is so the Bathurst 1000, that's kilometers, right?
Yeah, it's 1000, yeah. So that's so, like a Coke 600, but two drivers.
But you get two drivers.
Yeah. So I think the first stage was 100 Ks, 60 miles or something. And that's a sprint race in supercars.
And that's just the first stage.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That one felt short because it was only like
that was a short,
laps.
Yeah. And that race was 45 minutes shorter than the one last year when everybody was knocking the crap out of each other.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Have you, so you're settling into the Xfinity Series.
It's been good.
You've been a legit contender there.
Yeah, at the end of races, but just... I don't know if I'm too conservative at the start or learning, which is good. I take my time, but you give up so much. So when I finished Phoenix, I would have loved to start it again in stage one. You'd be so much quicker. Like just learning so much through the races, but
do you find yourself racing around regular guys and learning from them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are a couple of guys that you've seen, like, have taught you a couple of things on the ovals?
Or AJ, Austin on the super speedways was good to follow when he would be back with me and I'd try and follow him through, but
he says the same thing about you.
Yeah. He loved following you this week too.
I guess. But yeah, just placement and confidence and awareness. Like I'm still not 100% confident where the right front, right rear is of my car just from sitting on the other side. So, I've hit the wall a couple of times and gone, oop.
Yeah, what's that there?
That scared me. So just getting fully confident with that. But
got any more birds lately? Anybody else flipping you off? You got any more natural rivals on the track?
No, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Nothing on the weekend.
So we've talked racing. Let's get into the American life here.
I was legitimately, before you showed up, I was trying to DoorDash some hush puppies. Just so you could try some hush puppies.
I still never had one. Or seen one.
Damn. We'll get you next week.
Has there been anything else that has caught you off guard, food-wise or just in the American culture itself?
Nah, not really. I did the motorhome thing on the weekend.
Yeah, how was that?
That's so different to anything we do in Australia. So staying at the track, so good. Go to the motorhome, chill out between sessions.
And yeah.
Had the dog there. Jess was there. It was pretty cool.
You turned into a regular old cup guy, man.
I don't know, it's cool.
Big house
it's
on pretty, the lake coming up soon.
No way.
I heard he's buying Cal Mountain Jr.'s house right next to Harvick.
But yeah, like the way...
It's convenient, dude.
It's convenient. Everything here in America is about convenience, making things easy.
For sure.
Yeah, but it's a cool way to go racing.
What are some unnecessary conveniences, do you think? Drive-thrus?
Drive-thrus, they're for everything. Coffee, food,
bank.
Everything, yeah. But... You know, it's good the way we go racing. Just turn up half an hour before the flight, jump on, away you go, leave the track, straight to the plane.
Like it's pretty efficient.
Yeah. It's very efficient, but it has to be when you do it every week.
Yeah, that's right.
It gets boring. Like, man, for Rogue, it's got to get a little bit boring, though. There's a lot of downtime on the weekends, too. But it's nice when you go to places like Austin.
Yeah.
To go.
Like, normally, every morning, we'd have so much promotional stuff in Australia. And Donald, my PR guy's on Sunday, he's like, yeah, I'll come pick you up. 11:30 or something.
Have a nice breakfast.
What do I do on morning? So it's pretty cool.
Did you get to do a track walk with the dog?
Yeah, we did a track walk. He was knackered. It's a long way for him. It was hot.
He was what?
Knackered. Tired.
Does that mean tired? Yeah. Oh, I was freaking knackered after the cup race.
Yeah, we did the walk and we got out of, I think, 16 up under the bridge before the carousel.
Yeah.
And he walked ahead of us and just fell down in the shade. He was done. Come on, man. Two kilometers to go.
3.4 miles, man.
He gets it.
Oh, you got to buy a seat for that big fella.
We had to buy a seat for him, yeah. So.
Is that victory year?
Yeah. Nice. So at first he was backwards. He had his front legs on the seat and his bum on the ground. He couldn't figure it out.
How do you like that whole situate the flying deal?
It's pretty cool just how easy it is. Hardest thing is when you get off the plane finding your rental car. Yeah. Everyone gets the keys.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, everybody's hitting the same alarm.
Yeah.
The weird part is when I don't know what other teams you guys fly with or if you get a whole plane, but like when you rough up somebody, you're getting at somebody, then you got to sit by them on the plane. That's always kind of weird. It'll happen.
Well, he's said he's doing the, you're doing your comp meeting with Austin, right? So how do you anticipate that?
Later on today, we're doing the sim, post-sim.
So. How do you anticipate that going?
I don't have a problem, but yeah, I'm sure he might, but I'll just go up to him, shake his hand, see what happens.
Yeah. Keep on keeping on, man.
Yeah. We've got to race him again next week.
Your next cup race is Talladega.
That's right, yeah.
You couldn't be going to a different track, going from Circuit of the Americas to Talladega.
Yeah, and then Coke 600. So I got some tough ones coming up.
Oh, you're doing the Coke 600
Charlotte's
in the cup car.
Fun, man. Yep. Charlotte is
so
fun.
So have you been to Talladega?
I haven't, no.
Oh, man. Yep. Only thing you know about it's from Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And I think I saw someone doing parody interviews last year through the stands and through the parking lot.
That's the cup race you're running at Talladega?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because what's your next Xfinity race?
This week, Richmond.
Richmond?
Yeah. Yep.
Richmond's cool. That's cool. A driver's track. Talk about slippery.
That is very slippery.
Yeah, we have done that on the sim, and the difference between a quali to race.
Bro,
it looks
big,
crazy.
A big difference. Before we move on too much, we got a couple more questions. But first, I know you and Austin Hill had a little bit of beef, but we also had a little bit of beef in the cup race. One, your opinion of that Kyle Busch, Christopher Bell. Little to talk about.
I haven't seen that Kyle for a while.
Last time I saw Kyle Busch walk like that, he ended up getting his head bounced off a hood pin.
Ooh, with Joey.
Chris doesn't back down, though, does he?
I don't think he had anywhere to go. His back was up against the car.
True.
Oh, he gave him that.
Well, was that going to be like a handshake or like a, what is that?
Or sorry.
Sorry. No, he does it like, eh. Yeah, you're right.
What I heard Kyle Busch say here is, have I ever wrecked you? And he said no. Like, what Chris Bell looks like to me there is somebody that knew he had it coming. He's like, I know I got to take this ass chewing, which I can respect that.
I can respect it.
He also spun out the 5 car, which was tough.
Both similar incidents, right? The Chris Bell's point of view was the 8 left the entry really open, was trying to do the kind of undercut and get a straight run down the hill. And the 20 came from, like, I don't know, 7 back and filled the hole. You could look at it from the outside and be like, that was kind of the you know, 50-50. Then you watch the in-car camera, the 20, it's like, boy. there was, probably 15 spins like that in just the hard braking session because the minimum speed is so small there.
It's so inviting there, too, with the wide entries.
But. And you just jam it in there and then say, oh, man, corner's going the other way.
And when you're on the contrary, when you're the guy on the outside, you're like, okay, I'll take this and then get a straighter run.
And the next thing you know, you don't expect
because he's so far behind on entry. Yeah,
or you can't even hardly see him because he's like 4 car lengths to your left. So there was some juice there. I wonder if that's ever gonna. He said, I think he ended it with, "You got one coming."
Mm. Have you ever had what's your most amount of beef you ever had at the racetrack?
I had a good takeout with a guy, David Reynolds, once, where we come together and he come in the truck, abused me, and
supercar race.
Yeah, yeah.
He told punched me you? I was
dead. No, he just yelled and had a go.
Oh, verbally abused.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, we don't punch
physical.
In Australia. Yo, not like that,
dude. Marcus Ambrose has the cleanest
that
punch.
That's a Richmond.
It was clean, dude. I saw it again this weekend. Casey Mears was like grabbed him by the fire suit. He had like the Sparkos where it had like the cuff, and Casey Mears like grabbed him and spun him around, and Marcus was like.
Dude,
boom, and it was
them.
Clean, dude.
Cracked them,
and even everybody was like kind of like, even Casey Mears was like, what just happened?
Didn't even know.
So I don't know, you're a bigger guy though, like I don't think anybody's coming after you, but
yeah, but I don't want to fight anyone.
Nobody wants to fight, but sometimes, you know, you gotta take care of business. What about sprint car racing? Have you ever?
No, I didn't do it long enough.
No,
I only did it for
it's them guys get rowdy.
What, fighting?
Just the dirt track guys. They seem
not really in New Zealand either.
Do they not?
Yeah. I think that's just an American thing.
Yeah,
it's another cultural thing, I guess.
I feel like that's all we got. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, SVG. Appreciate your time again. Thanks for checking in at Coda.
Thanks.
You're
for having
you're always
me.
A welcome guest on the show. Any parting words for the Stag and Penny's fans?
No, not really.
We're getting into
any kinda, tips for Richmond.
Yeah, we're getting into some meat and potatoes of the season with you guys. Go to Martinsville for the first. The next week.
Yeah, that looks crazy too.
It's pretty crazy. I think you're gonna a lot of road course guys seem to do really well there, right? You're having a hairpin breaking moment.
Yeah, true.
Twice a lap.
Do you shift AJ, there?
Not an Xfinity car.
But a cup car?
Oh, you'll shift every lap twice.
Yeah. Huh.
And you're like, why are we doing this? It's a lot of shifting. I think you're going to sell there. Richmond's a fickle buddy. I'll tell you, somebody that helped me out a lot with Richmond is Harvick. So pick his brain a little bit.
Yep.
He can, just like Phoenix, can drive a wheelbarrow around Richmond and be in contention. So it's just hard, dude. It's so freaking worn out. Can't even stress to you how much it's worn out. Yeah, just try to keep it on the left rear.
Tire deck looks crazy.
Yeah, just try to keep it on the left rear, and especially off two, wrap a little longer and launch. But very slippery. And we wish you luck.
Thank you.
You can do it. You'll settle in. Yeah. Keep on cracking off them top tens. Be a playoff contender in the Xfinity Series. Excited to race with you at Talladega. Thanks for joining Stacking Pennies.
Looking forward to it. Cheers.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, we are back. We sent SVG on his way to get some work done, and we are here with some pit road boats and woes. Plenty of woes this week. But first off, how was your day?
We had a good day. It was weird because we got, like, dude, the flight to Austin was long.
I bet you mine was longer.
We were an hour. We were late for the garage.
We stopped twice.
We only stopped once. You had to stop twice.
Yeah.
But on the contrary, there must have been a headwind because we got home fast last night. But like I say that because we got there.
Yeah, your bird passed us.
Yeah, we were hauling the mail. But I called you like, we're taking off. We were still sitting on the runway, and I called you when I landed. You're like,
yeah,
we're just landing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, we hauled ass by you.
Mm-hmm.
But I say that because we got to Austin yesterday, and like that big trip there, and I literally went like, I was within a football field the whole time I was there. From the truck to from the we park right behind the trucks with our rental car. To where we eat at Cat's Kitchen, mm-hmm. to the truck, to our pit box.
And back.
It was maybe like 100 feet between everything. So I went all the way to Austin, worked in like 100-foot square radius, and then flew back home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people always are like, oh, man, what's it like traveling all around, seeing all the places? Cool, man. Cat's Kitchen in the bathroom. And
we landed at the FBO, and they had this like cold brew coffee on keg.
Ooh.
Dude, it had me dizzy. It was so good.
Really?
I was like, I don't know. I've never done drugs, but if this must be what it feels like. Like
it's supposed to be a little taste of it.
I feel terrible. It was like, I felt good, but terrible all at the same time. I was like spinning. They got it. Like I was just pounding water, like get this coffee out of my system. It's too high octane, but we did go P1 on the day.
Really?
Yeah, so we worked real hard this past week. We knew that we had some speed to pick up. We had some hard conversations in the film room and as a team and got better this week and went to the track.
Love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, Code is a tough place because it's not really a level playing field for everybody because everybody's car is not super pit friendly. We call it pitable. The tires get hung up in the fenders or you see a lot of guys waiting on fuel. So it's not really like apples to apples for everybody. Like we're going to see this coming weekend in Richmond.
Yeah.
When we go there and it's just like a flat out pit competition. Mm-hmm. But we had our fastest stop of the year. We were P1 on the day with a 947, but I got a lot of questions this week. You gonna make yourself dogs in the week? Are you guys dogs of the week? We are not.
No, you can't.
We have to do something very special for us to make ourselves the dogs of the week. For me to make my team dogs of the week. So it's
you set a higher level for yourself. Higher standard.
I'm not gonna be that guy that just comes in here and toots my own horn.
Dude.
There's enough people like that. That's not me.
All right, cool, man.
So
who are the dogs then?
Just 200s off of us. So we were 947 on average. The 24 team, 949. The 7 team, honorable mention, 952.
Yeah.
So they were third. So three teams within a tenth of a second on average. The reason the 24 gets the dogs of the week, it is hard to do that when you are there to win a race. And you know, they were a half second or more better than, on average, better than the guys that they were racing.
Mm.
And they won by just over a second. So it's what propelled them to the victory. And they, them guys being dogs.
Do you know that roster off the top of your head?
I know Jeff Cordero.
Yeah, dog.
Ryan Patton.
Yep.
Landon Walker. He's maybe the most handsome son of a gun on pit road.
I guess some good looking fellas on that
squad. I forget the jack man's name. I'd have to look it up.
Is it Big Country?
No, it's not Big Country. There's enough big countries in the world.
There's probably four or five on pit road. I was just figuring my odds were good.
Spencer Bishop is the jack man.
Okay, dog.
Yeah, and the rear changer
is
Orlane Ososki. Oswiski. Okay. You had to ask me their names. Now I'm going to look like
Well, no, you should. You're not a man, because you called them dogs of the week.
They were. Yeah, no, but they crushed
Do
it.
Do you think we see some new quick times this week going in Richmond?
I think Richmond people are going to be there to hang out.
Hammer down.
It's going to be, hey, I'm hoping it's something like Bristol where it's like a pit competition. I don't think it will be. Last year we saw Green Flag pit stops here. But Richmond is a place where track position is going to be king, and you can make a big difference in your day. Like the 24 made a big difference in the day here at COTA. They were flawless in that first pit stall. Project them the win. A couple guys who had a couple woes.
Well, we've been sitting here talking for 20 minutes off camera. Everybody said, oh, man, I feel like this car lost race on pit road. Oh, I thought like this guy lost a race on pit road. How many guys lost a race on pit road?
Well, I was listening to just a couple of different things. I heard the one car had a tough last pit stop, which when you don't have any cautions, right, it's just
time
over distance, mm-hmm. right? So any, like, coming to pit road, like the 48, right, he said what cost him is he pitted and then got in traffic.
Yeah.
Which you're not making any time if you pit and then get in traffic. Where yep. if you, and we have software, the teams have software that tell you when yep. to pit.
Right.
Optimal time to pit. They kind of take what it, they guess on what it's going to take.
Yeah, pit row. There's an algorithm.
It's called pit row?
Yeah, RHO.
Oh.
And it's essentially artificial intelligence. And it's all constantly looking at other people's strategy, fuel mileage, and calculating the gap of where, if you pit now, this is the gap you're going to fill.
That's why crew chiefs get so frustrated when they see a guy like me out there just sucking. They're like, we had it figured up to where you're going to do a 9.5. We didn't know you were going to do a 12. Thanks. Yeah. They blew my whole strategy. But that's why it takes
artificial intelligence. I don't know that.
Well, that tells you your whole strategy. If they knew how bad I was going to suck, I probably wouldn't have a job. But not this week. P1.
Love that.
Tooting my own horn. On to the 20 cars day. This is their first pit stop. I think a lot of people talked about. Now, fueling.
Comes in.
Hit an okay plug. 20 car went a little long. An okay plug. But this is where I start to question. So, by the way, I timed it. He's plugged in
for like
7.5 seconds, right?
How long does it take a fuel can to flow?
So stop it here. It takes about 2 seconds per gallon. It's 12 gallons in the can.
Yep.
So it should be about, you need 5 seconds. You probably need 10 gallons if it's a 19, 20 gallon stop, because they two stopped it. So I don't understand why he let Hicks go underneath him. I don't know what they got going on there, but he let Hicks go underneath him. So then when he makes his exchange, he's going to plug the car back in while the car's already up on the jack.
Yeah.
So you see he's up on his tippy toes. So when the fuel is spilling out from under there, so what that is, we've switched from the old redheads. Now everybody runs these Schultz heads. We've had them for a couple of years. If you go back and you watch like videos of Dale Earnhardt and them, where there's just fuel spilling everywhere, that was not a closed system.
Yeah,
you
had a catch can.
You had a catch can, man, but you needed air on both ends for it to, like, if it was blowing out the other end, it was still going in. If it's blowing out here or there's fuel in that tube right there, that means that you broke the seal of that closed system. Mm. So now it's taking twice as long to fill up because it's just, it's messed up the vacuum and how everything works in there. So,
little slow stop for the 20 fellas.
Yeah, he just had a bad angle, and I'm confused about that, how that all worked, but it did hurt them. It didn't take them out of the race. And they're, you know, it's in the middle of the second stage, so it they get the re-rack, come back, and go back at it. Another Gibbs team which just goes, this next clip just goes to show you the importance of your full team. See how the hose just took a bad bounce, kind of wraps around Marquill here, and then it goes under the right rear tire.
And Jack drops.
Jack drops, and they have that open mic.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they have that open mic, so the carrier and the jack man are talking to each other here, like, hey, jack it up. The hose is stuck. Well, Marquill already left.
Oh, no.
They're talking about it, which he wouldn't have been able to change the tire there with the hose all wrapped up in the gas man's feet. So it just goes to show.
What's the move there? If you had enough slack, do you still change the lefts and then you just do a burnout over the hose?
There's a chance that if the tire is pinching off the air hose, so there's no air that's going to get to the gun, essentially. So the move is what they did. They jacked it up and fixed it. I saw this a bunch last weekend and this weekend. I was watching film on our Penske film app, and the same thing last week. The hose throw. So here it all starts with the guy behind the wall throwing the hose. It's a thankless job, but he throws it and it gets that loop went around his head and kind of in front of him, in front of the hub. And I saw the 42 team throw the hose this week and trip the 21 rear tire changer, Steven Talgis, when he was going, he fell down and he was really late, made it a pretty rough stop. And then last week at Bristol, which is a really tight pit row as well, I saw the 99 team throw the hose around the rear changer of the 22. Jake Seminara's like neck, and he did the whole pit stop with the front changer of the 99's hose wrapped around himself. Yeah, because throwing the hose now, like I used to carry my own hose when we did 5 lug nuts, but now you clip it to your side because we're changing left-handed, and the guy pulling your hose and taking care of your hose is so important. My guy, shout out Brett McCutcheon's best hose puller in the game.
Mm.
you're getting weird on me. You're getting weird on me. He even had stitches in his finger this week.
Wow.
And
powered through.
Thugged it. Absolute hose pulling dog. So that was it. I'm excited. That was fun. It's a little bit challenging there with the camber being different on both sides, but we had a great day with 12, so I'll take that, move on to Richmond, and we're excited to go battle under the lights. So, in Richmond, hey, Easter Sunday.
So, Easter Sunday, I'm excited about that. So, we're going to Penny Staggers of the Week. There's a lot of pennies. There's a lot of 7 merch out there this weekend. I would say the one that stood out the most to me was the valet at the hotel. That sucker, I don't know his name, but he was super into it. NASCAR fan, was watching. Like, he knew that I qualified 5th when I got back, was watching it on his phone. So shout out to the valet at the Hyatt Place. He's the Penny Stagger of the Week.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back for hashtag Penny for your thoughts questions. You guys keep firing them over on Twitter and Instagram and all the places, and YouTube. We even check them out there in the comment section as well. But first, before we get to those Penny for your thoughts questions, we're going to ask our own question, and we're going to ask your opinion. Is William Byron the best driver in the next gen era?
It's hard to argue against. He's definitely one of the most complete. Right here, looking at the stats, 12 career wins, 10th in a next-gen car, and he's won at 10 different tracks. It seems like this 24 team, if it's a super speedway, style track, a short track, a mile and a half, or a road course, they're just so strong, dude.
I feel like he's Jackson Storm coming in, all the old heads. He doesn't really know very much about the old car, doesn't really have old habits, and he comes in with, like, the very very much so the simulator forward methodology, preparation, unlike kind of the old school short tracks, rednecks. He comes in with like a really polished, buttoned up way of how he understands to be on the tire. And to your point, he can win in every different track, super speedways all the way down to short tracks and everything in between.
It's cool to see that 24 doing good too. The old Jeff Gordon, 24.
I know. Everything feels right when 24 is in victory lane. Hats off to Rudy and Willie.
Yeah, I think that was a big deal, William going to get Rudy, you know, and saying, hey, me and this guy work well together. He seems like he's a...
I tell you, man, that crew chief driver relationship is like a marriage.
Well, William seems like a good leader in himself, too, to be able to say, you know, hey, this is who I want. This is how we're going to run the team. It's just hard. Like, to run, I can't tell you enough how hard it is to run that well every single week, no matter where we are. There's guys that have strengths here, there, but there's not many guys that can win every week, and he's proven he can do it.
I think that people that sit on the couch and watch it on Sundays and don't do hard things for a living, they don't know how hard it is to be in the Cup Series, to run 15.
It's hard to just 10. Be there.
It's hard to be there.
But
it's
to win the most there. Races and do all that. Like,
I can't tell you how impressive that is and how freaking hard it is.
Yeah.
To execute at that high level week in and week out, no matter what track we go to. I don't know of anything harder. Granted, I'm biased because that's what I do for a living.
Correct.
But it's Cup racing is so freaking hard, and that's why the guys that are consistently winning races is all that much more impressive. So I'm gonna say yes. William Byron is the best driver in the NASCAR Next Gen era.
The numbers would agree. But speaking of numbers, we got a lot of number fans that sent us over some hashtag Penny for your thoughts on Instagram this week. So let's roll through them. We'll go quick.
Spitfire.
Better track, COTA or Road America?
COTA by far.
I'm with you.
Favorite from infrastructure to the racetrack. COTA.
Next one. What's your favorite track to race at? They say that they're a big fan and will be there for your first win.
Any of them when your car's driving good. I've been at some of my favorites. Martinsville, Bristol's. Kansas has been pretty fun with a good driving car.
You got to pick one, man. What's your favorite track? Bristol. Love it. Does your qualifying and race lap times get you excited for the road courses the rest of the season?
It does. I've been working so hard to try to get pace on road courses, and I just need to understand and get some confidence with my racecraft. But yes, qualifying in the top 10 at Watkins Glen last year and the top 5 here at COTA gives me some confidence that I can do it and that it's in there. I just need to channel it and execute and just settle in and take a top 10 day when we have the car.
This one is thoughts on track limits. We touched on that with SVG, so we'll go to the next one. Did Ty cost Seabell and his team a win?
I don't know.
I'll touch on that. I don't think so. I think there was people that thought that Ty should have just let Chris Bell go. They were racing hard. They were 2 seconds back from the 24. Chris Bell was coming. This is an F1, right? You got to keep running. You got to race hard. I would say what you want from a teammate there is not to let you go, but not to hold you up at the same time. Like, if you're racing hard, you know they're coming. Don't you know, arrow block or put your teammate in a bad spot. Also don't pull over and let them go. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to hear what they thought about it in their meeting today, but I'm not going to that meeting. So, I didn't see anything wrong with it. Next one, thoughts on running the Le Mans spec car or close to it at a road course. What's your thoughts on that?
Like, if I want to do it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. How do you rate SVG's performance this weekend?
I think it's probably, I wish I'd even asked him that question when he was here. I feel like it was probably a little bit underneath what his expectations were. I think he obviously knows what winning in the Cup Series tastes like. He feels like his abilities can contend for wins in the Cup Series. So having those issues, sure, he was a bit aggravated. And I'm going to say his efforts and the things he can control, I think he did A-.
Yeah, I agree with that. Last two. Would no stage breaks have helped or hurt exhausted drivers?
I don't know. I mean, a race straight through that long with not being able to drink anything, it would have had a lot of guys gassed.
Hmm.
Knackered.
Thirsty.
Just sushy.
What is your go-to activity to relax and unwind?
I love mountain biking. So, yeah, I get in the woods, hammer down, just myself. So I haven't done that in a long time. I probably need to, or just hang out with my kids in the backyard, playing basketball or riding bikes. So, yeah, hang out with my kids or mountain biking is what I like to do to blow off some steam. And I got some steam this week. So I need to blow it off because I had something to really ground my gears this weekend.
Ooh, what's that?
Well, the fact that Marco Andretti's gears were really grinding the asphalt because he lost his entire rear end housing was unbelievable.
Never seen anything like it. I've seen broken truck arms. No, I saw the rear end get ripped out of a car when Michael McDowell wrecked at Watkins Glen. I was changing tires on that car.
Yes.
I've never seen it fall out from wheel hopping.
Who knows how many miles those truck arms had on it before the race starts, right? I'm sure they weren't brand new, put them in there, but that's impressive.
I've never seen that. So Carissa was like, how does that happen? And just watching it from, I didn't see the rear end rolling yet. And I was like, I don't know, maybe like U-bolts kind of stretched or broke and it spit the shims out and then it broke some U-bolts. Like, that's what I thought.
But the U-bolts were still bolted on.
They're still bolted on. Everything's bolted on. There's one shock. That had to be so loud coming out of there.
Yes. And heavy.
Violent. Dude,
all sorts of
things. It looks like it's not really anything there. Do you understand how heavy just the third member, just the red part of the gear is?
Yeah, it's like 60 pounds.
Yes.
And then a tire, two tire. Yeah, that's, I don't know, I'm not great at math. 500 pounds.
It's close. Better part of it. So that coming out of there, Marco Andretti, man. Coming from IndyCars to he had a problem at the ARCA race with some shock mounts. Now his rear end gets ripped out. Not having a great start to his NASCAR career. I hope they can.
That
get
really
the ship.
Ground my gears though.
It didn't grind his gears; just ripped them right out.
It just ripped his gears right out.
See ya. Bye.
What ground your gears this week?
Nothing. I'm good. I had a good week. I am. I'm good to go.
No ground gears.
Nope.
Lubricated.
Well lubed.
Love that.
Yeah.
Hope you guys are too. And thank you. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Whether you're listening to it on Sirius XM Channel 90 on YouTube, we encourage everybody, if you listen to us generally on audio, they do a great job with YouTube. Go check that out. You can see all the video clips that we're talking about on the show. You can see all of our backdrops. We got our Rowdy Burns fire suits. We got our Tim Tebow's. And we even got a new sign, Richard Petty pitcher, courtesy of John Merriman. Shout out to him. Got a lot of good things going on. Send over your questions. Like, download, share, review all the things. We're headed to Richmond this weekend. Buckle up. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for stacking pennies. Have a great week. Goodbye.